All right, a little Texas Longhorn football conversation here on a Thursday morning. Another NFL draft declaration from Texas. Yesterday, it was defensive back Jalen Gilbo who announced that he is declaring for the NFL draft. I mean, this one is not a big surprise. Jalen Gilbo was a senior. He was out of eligibility, so he couldn't come back. He just released a nice statement thanking Texas fans for these last 4 years. And I guess the purpose of declaring is he's letting you know that he is not going to be playing in the upcoming bowl game, 13.
Was he going to be playing anyway?
All of the reports, and we've talked about these reports on this show, indicated that he was not going to be playing in this bowl game. So, yeah, now he just made it official right there.
He doesn't need the trip. He doesn't need the trip.
He doesn't need the free trip to Disney.
No, he doesn't need the trip. He doesn't need the gear. And he doesn't need the extra practices.
Yeah, best of luck to Jalen Gilbo. I'm curious where he ends up. I think he's probably a day three guy in the NFL draft. You know, unfortunately, this was not the year I hoped, and I don't think this was the year Jalen Gilbo hoped he was going to have. You know, he did the Jahdae Barron thing, Buck, where for the first few years of his career, you know, Jahdae Barron was the star, the slot corner on this defense. And then for his senior season, he moved outside to a traditional cornerback spot. Obviously, for Jahdae, it worked. He won the Thorpe Award. He was a first-round pick. Jalen Gilbo does the same thing, and we're like, oh, can lightning strike twice in the same spot?
No.
It could not. And Jalen Gilbo ended up kind of losing his starting job towards the end of the year. Still played a lot, was a big part of the rotation, but it never fully clicked for him at that other spot. So, yeah, he was not a Thorpe Award winner, and he's not going to be a first-round pick. But he's got enough talent. He's put enough on film in his Longhorn career to work.
Yeah, he'll have to do some special teams things immediately to make a squad. But he can run, and he's big enough, so he'll fit in with it. He'll find a way on the team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he'll get drafted. And Jalen Gilbo, a father, I think had a kid last year, so taking his talents to the league, going to provide for his family. Best of luck to him. Cornerbacks at Texas next year, and I guess this year with his bowl game, well, that's a big question because you're losing Manny Muhammad, who was by far and away your best cornerback on your team. You're losing Jalen Gilbo as well. So it's going to be a lot of guys who are currently freshmen who will be sophomores next year who are going to be tasked with being the top guys unless Texas decides to hit the portal pretty hard.
Yeah, you're going to see some guys in this bowl game that may have, you know, they're all going to get opportunity. You're going to see names that you haven't even heard of getting in this bowl game at a lot of positions. So, and that's a good thing. And once again, when you're losing a bunch of guys like this, I will say this, the practices don't hurt you just to see them when they're with, 11 on 11 and stuff like that. So at least get some kind of indication. Is this position okay for this person? Are we trying to put him in a position that he can't have success in? Maybe move him to a different position. So these are some of the things you do find out about these extra practices.
Yeah. I'm pretty interested. I think one of the biggest questions facing the Texas defense in the offseason is whether or not they keep Grayson Littleton at star where he played all year. I mean, he started every game this season as a true freshman, which is not easy to do on this talented defense. Or do they make the move to outside corner with him? Because that's going to determine a lot of what else happens. Because I think Cade Phillips, who had sort of took over for Jalen Gilbo, starting number two corner, I think he's definitely locking down one of the outside spots. But now it's, is it somebody else at the other outside corner, or do you move Grayson Littleton out there and find somebody to play the star? That's a big question that the staff's going to have.
I kind of like him at star, really. I just don't see him as being an outside guy covering guys. I think they may get lit up.
I don't think that. I mean, that guy had a really, really good season, and he went up against a lot of really talented wide receivers.
Yeah, I like him in traffic. I don't like him on a lone island for some odd reason.
It's interesting. Yeah. I think playing the star position is a little tougher.
Like you said, there's a lot of traffic in there.
A lot of traffic, right? Well, you got the two-way go. You don't have the sideline as your other defender like you do on the outside. And also, you got to be more of a factor in the run game. So you got to be willing.
Which he does, yeah.
Yeah, which he did a good job of. So, like, I think if he stays at star, I think we feel really good about him staying at star.
What's best for the team? What's best for the team is all what it's all about.
Exactly. Yes. I don't know. Usually
somebody's going to have to come out of the woodwork. Somebody's going to have to show themselves. Somebody's got a great opportunity right now.
100%. And, you know, there's talent on the team. Texas has recruited the secondary extremely well.
Yes, they have.
You've got Kobe Black, who will be going into his junior year. Wardell Mack will be going into his third year, redshirt sophomore. You've got Warren Roberson, who is still on the team. He'll be going into, I think, his fourth year with the program. So they've got, it's not like it's, oh, they got to rely on a bunch of true freshmen again. There's guys who have been a part of things. They just haven't had massive roles on the defense. But yeah, that's big for that group on the 31st, and obviously big questions facing them next year, because that secondary is going to look vastly different.
Yeah, I just think you have enough. Doesn't sound like a portal thing, unless you just get a great one at cornerback, because you feel like he can. This is what we need to lock down the other side, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And they just have more pressing needs.
Oh, yes, they do.
In the portal with O-line and linebacker and running back. Like, I feel like secondary is relatively far down the list. So
I would agree.
We will see. We will see what happens there. But, yeah, big opportunity for some of these guys 13 days from now to showcase what they're all about. Jalen Gilbo, though, officially declaring for the draft. Buck, we've got some reports here. Your report,
I did not do it.
Your TPS report?
Ooh.
Don't forget
whatever it is, I didn't do it.
Don't forget to add the cover sheet to your TPS reports.
Oh, my goodness.
As they say in Office Space about 100 times. Classic movie. We got a few reports to dive into. Start with this one. Somebody out there has reported that Texas has a $1.5 million offer on the table for Florida running back Jaden Ball.
Okay, do it.
You're telling me to do it?
No, I'm just saying whoever has that offer out there, let's go.
Well, he has yet to enter the portal, so it's kind of tough to do it until he does that.
He's just trying to up the ante, that's all.
I wonder what's happening here. Now, this was not a report from a Texas source, and a couple of Texas sources have said that they don't believe that it is true. Obviously, he has yet to enter the portal, so Texas can't even talk to him. Now, his agent can talk to Texas, and a lot of what happens right now before the portal officially opens on January 2nd is agent games, I like to call it, where agents are doing whatever they can to get as much money for their clients as they can.
Asian games?
Huh?
Oh, you said Asian games. I thought you said Asian games.
No disrespect.
No Asians are involved in the making of these games. All right. Agent games here. They're trying to make as much money for the client because ultimately that helps them make as much money for themselves.
Absolutely.
As well. So, I could easily see this just being his agent making something up to try to get more money for Ball at Florida. And I don't know how Florida feels about Jaden Ball, right? It sounds like they didn't care about DJ Lagway, and that's why Lagway decided to enter the portal, right? They basically, I don't think they told Lagway, like, get out of here, but they kind of told Lagway, like, yeah, you know, we don't really need you.
Yeah, we need to move along.
They just said, we don't really need you. And DJ Lagway's like, all right, if you're going to treat me like that, then I'm out. I don't know if they're going to treat Jaden Ball like that. Jaden Ball is a better player than DJ Lagway is. Not as premium of a position, obviously, with running back versus quarterback, but he's more proven. He was second team all SEC, ran for 1,000 yards. He was maybe the best player on Florida's entire team here in 2025. So just because they treated DJ Lagway the way that they did, it doesn't mean they're going to treat Jaden Ball like that.
No,
they could.
That money can go to that dude, and they'll find a quarterback in the state of Florida to come play. That's what they'll try to do. They'll try to find some hotshot high schooler like they thought Lagway was going to be, and it didn't turn out that way. But they can't lose that running back.
I didn't think
the SEC to lose that guy. Wow, that'll hurt.
I didn't think they could lose either of them. Now I'm very curious to see what Florida does at quarterback, but. Yeah, I mean, I think they would want to keep, I think they should want to keep Jaden Ball. And obviously, they've got a lot of money there too. And because he's on Florida, and again, still has not entered the transfer portal, he gets to talk to Florida first. Like, that's the only team he can talk to about money right now. So they've got the leg up. They've got the advantage just because he's been there. But he knows that Texas is interested, and Texas is clearly interested. I don't know if, again, that number, the 1.5 mil, is a real number that's actually out there on the table. But there's definite interest right there. And if Jaden Ball does decide to leave, he's going to drive a pretty penny.
Yeah, he is. And, I mean, when you got his running back coach here and you just gave this guy 700 G's or whatever to coach the running backs, man, I would have had, dude, if you come here and we give you this gig, you better find a way to get that guy to leave.
Well, I mean, it's not – what is Jabbar Jalouk supposed to do?
Like, he's he's supposed to talk his player into coming for the last year of his, you know, still staying in the SEC with Texas and playing for him.
He's got to talk. He's got to talk to the agent right now. The running backs coach has to be the guy negotiating deals with.
He should be.
That's not how it works.
But he should be.
Why?
Why not? Does he want? Does he want the best running back, one of the best running backs in the nation, playing for him in his first year as a running back coach at Texas? I would think yes. So he should be doing everything in his powers that's legal. Which is ethical.
Oh, yeah, not much. I mean, what you're promoting is blatant cheating right there. So I don't think I care. I don't think anybody really cares. It's happening all the time right now. But
I mean, it's like, college. Is it college football? Or what are we doing here?
I don't think Jabbar Jalouk is allowed to contact the running back, Jaden Ball, right now.
They're friends. They've been friends for years.
Okay.
That kid can't make a phone call. You can't send a text message. Hey, give me a buzz. Hey, while you're doing nothing. Because your team's not doing anything.
Right. I don't know. I'm okay with it happening. But again, Jaden Ball's got to hit the portal. Florida, I don't think, is going to let him leave. But hopefully he does. Boy,
I know this. If that guy hasn't had contact with that kid, what good is he? I mean, really. He's coached him over. It's like me not being able to, you know, to have a conversation with Ricky Williams. So, I mean, no, dude, you get a conversation. You've got every private number that kid has. You have every means and ways to get him to call you back.
Yeah.
You don't think he's had to have that conversation with him.
Okay. That doesn't mean he's going to enter the portal and transfer to Texas. It's not as simple as that, right? Like,
well, it's not as simple as that.
Coaches get hired all the time. Every single player at their former school does not follow them to their new school.
No, but I'm just saying that at least you've had the conversation. You're going to have the conversation with him.
Well, and you got to talk to the agent too. You got to deal with that guy because that's the guy pulling the strings more often than not nowadays.
Or Uncle Willie.
And I don't know if Jaden Ball's number one interest is making as much money as he possibly can. I don't know if he wants to follow his running back coach. I don't know if, hey, I went to Florida for a reason. I like it here. I'm already 2 years into my degree. I don't want to get up and uproot my life. So I'm fine where I am. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there may be a lot of reasons why he'd stay, but I'm still saying that guy should have contact with him somehow, some way. He's the guy who can get in touch with him maybe as easy as his girlfriend. That's, you know, I would expect that guy to be able to get in contact with his player.
Right. Well, yeah. Okay. That's fair. They've been together
for a couple of years, you know, on Saturdays and every day at practice and, you know, good times, the bad times, the ups and downs of a young man. This guy's been a part of his life. So he should be able to get in touch with him.
Yes, he does have his phone number. I agree. He does have his phone number. I don't think that's going to determine whether or not Jaden Ball enters the portal. If he enters the portal, it will definitely help that he was coached by Jabbar Jalouk for 2 years. I think Texas will be the clear front runner for him. Now, Georgia's being linked to him too. So, again, it's not like it's just going to be the easiest thing in the world to get this.
Oh, no. Everybody wants that, dude.
But he's got to hit the portal first. So that's where we're at. And until that happens, he's not coming here.
Well, things don't help when his quarterback's not coming back, that he's been around for his last couple of years too. No matter what people think of the player outside of their program, these guys have been around each other for a couple of years. That's not easy. All of a sudden that guy has disappeared.
Or now they have more money to pay Jaden Ball to stay.
That too.
The other spin right there. So, yeah, I don't know. We haven't seen the domino effect. If Jaden Ball's pissed that DJ Lagway's leaving, he hasn't hit the portal. I think if he was that mad about it, he would have been like, well, I'm leaving too. If you're not keeping my quarterback, then I'm also out. But that That has not happened throughout.
It's just hard for me to talk on a money level, and it is. Money has a lot to do with this. You know, it's just weird talking about kids and relationships, and then let's not forget the money there, Buck. There's money involved in this, and for a kid, you know, $250,000 added on to what you have is a lot of money. You're like thinking, I'm thinking like, does that really mean anything? Yes, it does.
Right. Yeah. For a lot of guys, that's the number one thing that matters, and that's fine. That's their prerogative. Go take care of yourself. Go take care of your family. Get your paper. But yeah, no, it's not as simple. Like, here's a basketball example I'll give. You know, Sean Miller obviously left Xavier to take the job at Texas. He got a couple of his guys to follow him, but Ryan Conwell, who was Sean Miller's point guard at Xavier last year, a lot of people were like, oh, he's definitely coming to Texas. He's hitting the portal. He's definitely coming to Texas. Louisville offered him a bag, and he's there playing really well right now. So it's the money. Like, it's not always, hey, I've got this great relationship or pre-established relationship with a coach anymore. It is way more than that these days.
Well, yeah, that's why you have an agent.
That's why you have an agent, and they all have agents these days. So that's one report. Jaden Ball, again, $1.5 million offer on the table from Texas. It has not been corroborated by Texas sources, but somebody put that one out there. And then a couple of updates regarding stay or go decisions for some Longhorns. Trevor Guseme reportedly leaning towards returning to Texas.
That would be awesome.
Which is great news. Yeah, Guseme's camp like wants to make sure that he is fully developed by the time he enters the NFL.
Yeah, they want him to be a top 10 pick at that, you know, in the draft, and he could be with his body and his feet. Yes.
I think it's that, but I also think it's more of they want him to have a 10-year NFL career. They're not just focused on like, let's make him a high, because he could be a first round pick if he left this year. I mean, I think Matt Miller has him as like a top 15 prospect in his big board right now. So maybe he could be a first round guy, but I think a lot of it is like, he doesn't want to go to the league and still not be polished and finished and ready to roll. Cause we talked about it earlier, Buck, that second contract is where you make your money.
Sure.
Obviously if you're a first round pick, you get more than a second or third round pick, but if you like play really well on your rookie deal, then that's where you get your top flight money. That's going to be that generational wealth that you're looking for.
Yeah, for him, he can really, if he comes back and shows out the following year and Texas has a great year, and Arch has a great year and he's protecting this kid and he does, you're not going to get worse. You're only going to get, a kid like that is only going to get better because he's so raw. So that's a way to make your money.
Yeah, I think you're right. Again, I do think he's got a chance to be an even higher pick if he returns. But just from what I've heard, it's about like making sure he is positioning himself to have a very long and healthy NFL career. And also, I don't know how much of a factor this really is, but Trevor Guseme's younger brother, Austin, is about to be a freshman at Texas. He's a five-star basketball recruit who signed with the Longhorns. So those guys will get to spend a year together at UT if he decides to come back. Again, if Trevor Guseme was like a lock to be a top five pick, I don't know if that would matter too much.
No, it wouldn't.
Considering it's a borderline decision, and then you've got the family factor that helps the Longhorns. That might be the thing.
Well, that does help right there. You're right.
Yeah. So I like that news. Jelani McDonald also leaning towards returning to Texas, which also great news because you're already losing enough in the back end, as we just touched on.
That whole secondary is going to be a revolving door of who's in, who's out, who's going, who's staying, what should he do, what position should they be at. They got a lot of work back there, but they have a lot of players.
Right. Yeah, Michael Taft's already gone. We know that. Jalen Gilbo's already gone. We know that. Manny Muhammad's going to be gone. So that's three of the four to five guys who started the majority of games in your defensive backfield. So you already know you've got to replace all of them, and you do not want to add Jelani McDonald's name to that list.
No.
He's a very good player, and I think he can almost take the role of Michael Taft next year as like team leader on the back end. Guy who's been here a lot, knows the defense really well, not only plays at a high level, but can also lead and direct at a high level. Like, it would do wonders for this Texas defense. They should be doing whatever they possibly can to make sure that guy
You're right.
is here in 2026. You're and he's right. another guy who, like, he's not Trevor Goosby. He's not getting any sort of first round conversation, but another guy that I think if he did return and Texas did what you were talking about, played really well, got back to the playoff and, you know, continued to be on the national stage at a bunch of big games against a bunch of really good teams, I think Jelani McDonald could potentially play his way into being like a top 50 pick next year.
For sure. I mean, just playing in the SEC and then still teams like Ohio State on your schedule, that doesn't hurt you. Well, it could hurt you if you got burned up, but yeah, it also could help you if you had a really solid game. They see that. They look at that. Scouts are looking at that kind of game.
100%. Yeah, with all the talent that Ohio State has on their offense.
Yes.
Yeah, that'll be a big one for Jelani McDonald, the junior out of Waco, who had his best season as a Longhorn this year. 73 total tackles, 3 interceptions, a fumble recovery, 3 PBUs. Again, did a lot of things. But yeah, you just, as good as he is, you want him back for that, but you also just kind of want him back so you don't lose basically all of your secondary.
Yeah, and all you're doing is picking up guys who are sophomores that were in their freshman class and putting them on the field now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't want that.
It's going to happen regardless.
At least two of those positions, that's going to happen.
Yeah, and you'll have some sophomores and redshirt sophomores and maybe some redshirt freshmen getting some significant run in this bowl game, but also next fall as well. And then Jack Hendry, I don't even know what to make of Jack Hendry's, dude, at this point. I looked at 3 insider sites yesterday. 2 of them said Jack Hendry's is leaning towards leaving. The other one says, I feel better than ever before that Jack Hendry's is staying. So nobody knows. I don't know if he knows just yet. And I think we'll get our answer over these next 13 days because I've heard if Jack Hendry's is declaring for the draft, he's going to opt out of the bowl game. So maybe it's like, well, if he's playing against Michigan, then that means he's coming back. If he's not, we'll already know that he's gone. But yeah, that.
Or if he plays in the game and has a great game, he still could say, I'm out.
I don't think he's going to. Again, I've been told that if he's declaring for the draft, he'll do it before the game and he won't play against Michigan. So he could do what you're talking about, but I don't think he will. So we'll see what happens.
Obviously, he's practicing with the team.
Practicing with the team. Yeah, still with the team. And I'd love to get him back next season. The reason, you know, I think it's a little bit of a head-scratcher for some that Jack Hendry's might be leaving after the year he had.
Yeah, for me, the reason is they don't have a better tight end.
For him to leave or for Texas to want him back?
I mean, no, Texas needs to have him back because they don't have a guy that's better than that guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, Texas wants him back. Like, you're right. He's the best tight end on this team. But the reason Jack Hendry's might leave is because this is a really weak draft class for tight ends. Like, Mel Kiper has Jack Hendry's as his 3rd tight end in this class right now.
Wow.
There are years where Jack Hendry's, with the season he just had, wouldn't be in the top 10.
Yeah, you're right. Position.
So you run a risk.
Good young tight ends, Laporta, some of these other guys that have been playing, coming right out of college, right into the NFL and playing well.
This just isn't one of those classes. So I think Jack Hendry's is weighing that. Like, I could go higher this year because I don't have as much competition. Whereas if I come back in 2027, that draft, I might. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, his agents know that for sure.
His agents know that?
His agent knows that.
I'm saying agent. You keep saying Asian.
Agent. Agent. Agents. More than one. Their staff knows who's coming back next year and what his opportunities are.
I don't know. I
think he can come back and have a fantastic year.
I do too. Like, I think he should come back. And I think he can have a fantastic year and end up being a high draft pick, even in a more loaded class.
By the way, like I said, they need him here. They don't have another tight end.
Yeah, I don't know.
Not a tight end that we can see visibly that's done anything in games. So they need that guy back. I don't care if he's the point of attack and gets pummeled every once in a while. They need him to get down the field.
Yep. You're talking about a win-now team. Again, I think there's a lot of potential with the younger tight ends on this roster. Jordan Washington, Amari Winston, Nick Townsend, you name it. But do you trust one of those guys to be your number one tight end on what hopefully is a national championship?
I mean, I've seen them use them all, but I haven't seen anything from them when they've used them all.
Right. Your answer is no. And I think my answer is no. And we'll see what the staff's answer is. They could go to the portal and get somebody else.
True.
On a one-year rental.
Oh, dude. And they've got, you know, they've got some out there, some tight ends out there on a one-year deal that don't need to take a lot of money, but just a little bit more than what they were getting where they were.
Sure. But retention.
Having Arch Manning as your quarterback doesn't hurt you either.
Right. Retention is so much better, though. It's so much easier. Like, I mean, Jack Injury already knows the offense.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
He's got that relationship with Arch Manning. Like, Jack Injuries didn't get here until after the spring. So now that he's played a full season and he's going to have a full off season, if he stays, like, I just feel like he's going to be so much better next year. I think Arch is better now than he was at the start of the season. So I think that will also help.
If you go I don't think they target him enough as it is anyway. And the targets he got were those little slip outs and, you know, off a hand fake, dump it off and he's got to run. He's not a great runner, but he'll run a route well enough to get down the field and help you out. He'll be better at that, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think part of Injury's lack of production is the lack of targets.
Yeah.
I feel like he was always a focal point for Steve Sarkisian this year. But yeah, I don't want to bring somebody else in, a new guy, and have him have to learn an offense and build up rapport with the quarterback. Much rather keep the guy who has already done that. So,
yeah, I still for Arch Manning and his team, the offensive line has to get fixed, and they need an elite runner if they can get one. Yeah. And once again, it's about the film work, and it's about what the coach is doing, who they find as that elite runner. That dude can come from the MAC. I don't care where he comes from.
Sure.
There's a guy out there that's an aggressive runner with a certain style that's going to help this offense move the ball, and it doesn't always lay on the shoulders of the quarterback and the wide receivers. They got to find that person.
100%. Yeah, they're after it. There aren't a ton of big name running backs in the portal just yet, but there's going to be some who enter. Everyone's top choice is Jaden Ball from Florida. We'll see if he enters, but if not him, then yeah, they're still going to go after somebody and spend a lot to get that position cleaned up. They know they need it. All right, we'll take your thoughts. Dakota text line 512-222-9328. The YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch live chats are rocking and rolling as well. Keep hitting us up. Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports will join the program in about 5 minutes to give some picks for the first round of the college football playoff and make all of us some money for bowl season. But before we shift gears, how about some sponsor shout outs?
Say hello to our friends over at Hat Creek Burger Company. Good day to go over and get yourself a burger, get yourself a banana pudding shake over at Hat Creek Burger. Or, you know, you can get that strawberry shake, BK, with a little whipped cream on the top and the cherry at Hat Creek Burger. Love the fries, but also for some folks, locations throughout the Austin area have breakfast starting at 7 a.m. If you want a little breakfast taco, some pancakes, waffles, you can head over to Hat Creek Burger. And for mom and dad in the evenings, how about a nice margarita when you unwind from work? Although, who's working these days? Nobody, but that's okay. You can still unwind at Hat Creek Burger while the kids have their burgers. You can have a margarita. Some of the locations have alcohol available to you while your kids play on those wonderful playscapes at Hat Creek Burger. I'm going today double with cheese today. That's right, onion. Hey, leave your pickles to yourself. Take your pickles home if you need to. Mm. I don't even want them on the side. I'll just have my cheeseburger, double cheese. Not a little hat anymore. I'm a double cheeseburger guy now.
I don't believe you.
Big man.
Not big man, small man.
Sorry. Not extra small, just I'm a medium. Let's just say that. I'm medium right now.
Are you at 160 yet?
No, 156.
You ain't the big man until you get to 160.
Gosh.
That's been your goal for like 2 years. How are you not there?
I can't get there, man. I can't
eat that attitude.
I can't eat three meals a day. That's a punishment to me.
Eat two giant meals then.
Maybe that. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm drinking these protein deals. I got these little core drinks, they're called. They got grams and grams of protein in them. It's just my belly I got baby belly. That thing fills up in a hurry. It's like my bladder.
Protein helps, but you got to get some fat in there, dude. Some calories.
I need to walk in here with some brisket, don't I?
Yeah, you're trying to put on weight. That's how you do it.
You got to become a fat person first.
I didn't say that.
I got to go Elko.
I don't think 160 makes you that.
Yeah, but I have to watch my fat intake, you know, too.
Dude, there's got to be two. Well, you keep watching your fat intake. You're going to stay at 156. If you're comfortable with that, then keep doing what you're doing, because you're very consistent with your weight. That's impressive.
I need more of my wife's lasagna. I need to eat more of that, don't I? Instead of having that, I need to go 3 days of straight lasagna.
That'll work.
Yeah, she does a great lasagna.
How fast would Mike Elko be able to down a tub of your wife's lasagna?
I think he could eat that whole block in a sitting. No, that's just not right. I don't
know. Two of you is Mike Elko, by the way. You're talking about getting to Mike Elko? Like, that's two of you put together, sir.
I'm going to do lasagna. It's the holiday season. It's time to get the lasagnas in the little squares in the freezer and get me doing that. I can always eat those for lunch. I don't know why I don't just pull out one. I don't have to have it for dinner.
Sure.
I could have chicken at dinner, but I could eat the lasagna at lunchtime.
Why not?
But I'm a truck driver. I'm busy. I'm on the go, man.
Eat in the car. Truck drivers are very unhealthy. You got to live that lifestyle if you're calling yourself a truck driver.
No, I feel like I should be headed to Taco Bell today.
That'll
some
work.
Crisp, some crunchies if I'm on the road.
That'll work. Go get you a chicken and waffle at Daymaker. You keep talking about that.
Tomorrow, Friday, I'm doing that.
All right.
That's my Friday deal. Friday, I'm going to head to the Daymaker and have myself some chicken and waffles. I'm going to get that over with. Large glass of orange juice, some grits. Hey, a little grits with bacon on the side there. It's happening.
All right.
Can you eat chicken waffles and bacon?
Yeah, if you're not a puss.
I mean, people are going to look at me like, you've got chicken here. Why do you need to have bacon?
Well, because bacon's always good. Yeah, bacon's always good. What do you mean, why do you need to have bacon? Fried chicken and bacon are two of the best foods ever invented, sir.
Waffle chicken and bacon? Yeah.
Why not? Life. All three of them are great.
Remember, I had a large stack over there at Daymakers.
Come on. Love Daymakers.
I do too.
We were talking earlier about the craziness on the roads. Hey, if you get hurt in a car wreck or somebody you know gets hurt in a car wreck, hopefully it doesn't happen. Hopefully you never need my guy Hurricane Hex, but if something happens, you get hurt in a car, you get injured on the job, if Bucky Trucker is running into you, call Hurricane Hex. He's the best personal injury attorney in the city. He's been a friend of mine for more than a decade. He's been fighting for justice and big results for more than a decade. And he's a great guy. He's going to treat you with the utmost care and respect. But while he's compassionate with his clients, he is a junkyard dog in the courtroom. He's going to fight like heck to get you every single dollar that you deserve. He's not going to stop until the job is done. Why? Well, he doesn't get paid unless you get paid. And I know my guy Hurricane, he likes getting paid.
He's gonna
make sure you get paid so he also gets paid. He'll be fighting for you every step of the way. Don't call those jabronis you see on TV or on the billboards. They're spending too much money filming and being in photo shoots. They're not in the courtroom actually fighting for you. Hurricane Hecht is. 512-938-8929. You can find out more at hechtlawfirm.com.
Yeah, somebody said I need more tortillas.
Tortillas will work.
I mean you got those little Hawaiian rolls that I like that I get yelled at about. More stuff in the tortillas, especially the homemade tortillas, a little bit more buttery.
I feel like Hawaiian rolls and tortillas are two very different things, no?
Well, I mean, it's bread. I mean, it's bread.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you load up the bread. That's like, if you're eating chicken tonight, which you talked about, put it in between two buns, you know?
Yes, that's. I think I'm going to do that.
Get a little more calories. Some carbs with that bread. It's good stuff for you right there.
I'm going to have some ideas about the meals I need to do to put on, get to that extra 4 pounds. I need to get there.
Okay.
I need to be there in the new year. I'm supposed to be there in September. No.
Well, because I think
you know what happened? I did that whole thing of not having ice cream. By the way, I've only had maybe 3 ice creams since I got off of my ice cream fast. I've let my body is even let down about this.
You're a normal human being because your New Year's resolution last year was to get to 160. And here we are on December 18th and you didn't achieve your goal.
No,
you're not alone. Plenty of people set these New Year's resolutions and they don't do them. So that's you. That's going to be your New Year's resolution.
I don't want to be one of those people.
And you're not going to do it again.
No, my New Year's resolution is to hit the lottery. So, I mean, but
did someone win the Powerball yet? I didn't even look.
No, dude. I think we're over a billion. We're probably a billion and a half now.
I think we were at over a billion before the last draw.
Yeah, we were just about over a billion. So I think this one on Saturday is going to be humongous.
We're at 1.5 bill right now.
Yeah, There you go.
For tomorrow night's Powerball jackpot drawing. Okay.
I bet you if I hit that, I'll be at 160 that night.
Oh, you're going to be eating so much that day?
Oh, my God.
You'll throw it up right after. You can't handle
all
that.
Oh, I'm not that. I'm not going to regurgitate my food. What's going in there is either coming out one way or it's staying in there for a while.
Mm. Real quick, before we talk to Lee, a story you informed me about before the show. Doug Gottlieb,
yes.
The head basketball coach at University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, who's also been, you know, hosting a daily radio show on the side. He is giving up his daily radio show. He is stepping down as his gig as the host of the Doug Gottlieb show, and he will no longer do live radio so he could spend more time focusing on his team, Buck.
Is that what they told him at the university? You need to, at the big university there, Wisconsin, Green Bay, you need to focus more on this team than trying to be the funny guy on radio?
I don't know. He did say that he's still going to be doing his podcast.
Ah.
So he's not completely leaving the media space, but he is giving up the daily show to focus more on his team. And that's two stories in the last week that have hurt me, right? I was trying to push for you to get the Texas running backs coach job while also doing Texas Sports Unfiltered. And, you know, my inspiration, my reasoning on why you could do it was because Doug Gottlieb's been doing it. And now he's backing off.
Yeah, because the people at the university said, hey, dude, you need to go to work here. Between playing golf and messing around on your radio show, you're not doing enough work here with the basketball team.
I'm a little surprised that he chose the basketball team over the radio show, honestly, if he was given an ultimatum.
Yeah, really.
But I mean, I will say this. Wisconsin, Green Bay, last year they won 4 games all season.
What?
This year they're 6-7.
How the hell did they even have a job at Wisconsin, Green Bay? They won 4 games?
They won 4 games. Yeah, 4 games last year.
Oh, my goodness.
But again, hey, they're on their way up. They've already passed their win total from last season.
Well, 6-7, have they?
They're at 6-7 right now. So it's working. Now he's going to focus more on the team. Watch out for Doug Gottlieb.
They can win 10.
Stealing some wins and stealing some credit cards, Buck.
Wow.
It's just what he's all about. That's what he's always been about.
Man.
All right. One of our favorites for the last time in 2025. Now we'll chop it up with this guy when we get closer to the Super Bowl, because everybody likes to bet on the Super Bowl. But for the last time this fall, we chop it up with our favorite, the man, the myth, the legend, the hottest handicapper in the history of the known universe, the great Lee Sterling from ParamountSports.com.
Lee.
Joining us here, Lee, happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah.
Holiday, man.
You too, guys. Great time of year, and want to wish both you and your families and this rest of your staff and the listeners out there, except for maybe Bill Cohen, happy and healthy holidays.
Yeah, how about that, Buck? Lee Sterling, obviously.
We're not talking. We've almost reached. He texted me this morning, and we reached that point where we just cease all communications until after the game.
How about that?
There you go.
Lee, a huge Miami fan. Bill, a huge Aggie fan. Those two teams duking it out against one another. We'll obviously get Lee's pick on that game here in a little bit. All sorts of great games coming up. We're talking about the playoff, Buck, but also talking about some upcoming bowl games as well.
Bowl games, Lee. We're still doing bowl games.
Bucky and I probably remember when there used to be 8 total. Remember that, Bucky? 8 bowl games?
And I played, I was a part of the worst bowl trip in America, the Liberty Bowl.
Were you really?
Wow. Boston College played Notre Dame, and Mark Bavaro was playing at Notre Dame, and they just hammered the crap. We had Doug Flutie. They had Mark Bavaro. People were burning wood in the stadium at the old stadium there.
How bad did you lose?
I think we lost by about 13, 14 points.
Oh, not bad.
But we always lost to Notre Dame. I have never beat Notre Dame, so I don't understand what that's
like.
What
an entitled bunch, huh?
Yeah, really. God. Always winning, always wanting something. Yeah, they were entitled.
You and I can remember, Bucky, going back. When I was a kid, there was only 4 TV stations. So,
oh, yeah.
And on Sunday morning, before the NFL Today show, you watched Notre Dame highlights.
Oh yeah, that was it.
Yeah, Notre Dame highlights. I'm trying to remember who was the I think it was Lindsey Nelson.
Lindsey Nelson, yeah, Lindsey Nelson. I met Lindsey Nelson at a when Boston College played University of Houston, I believe. I got to sit in on a production meeting with Lindsey Nelson. What a guy he is.
He was. And BK is probably saying, Lindsey Vonn, that's about the only Lindsey I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lindsey's a dude.
Which made me, I'm going to be nice, dislike Notre Dame was, they could be up 14-0 in the first quarter and the second quarter get outplayed and be losing 17-14 going to the half. And all Nelson would say, let's move on to further action. And they would just skip over the whole quarter. Mm-hmm. Like it didn't exist at all. So never a fan. And then my good friend Mike Kirby always wanted to go there. He ended up having to go to Air Force. He ended up burning him and beating him two games in a row once in.
They're always good at beating up on our military, Notre Dame.
But actually, I think Air Force, I think he was the first team in 20, 25 years, something like that, to beat him. And I think Air Force won four straight, and he was a part of two of them. So I know that was special for him. So let's get after him. Got some nice bowl games here we're going to cover.
Yeah, absolutely. Buck, you want to start us off?
Lee, the first one, Tennessee, -2.5 over the Fighting Illini. Chief Illiniwick and the gang where I was there in Champaign, Illinois. I like the matchup there. I just think it's, Tennessee being -2.5. Illinois down the stretch didn't play very, very well.
Nope.
They got beat by Northwestern. They got beat by a couple teams at the end. They started off that they were going to be hot. Everybody thought they'd be in the thick of things, Lee, but I don't know. 2.5 for this bowl game. This seems like a bowl game. Who's going to be interested in playing, really?
Well, let's look at just the bowl games last night. Both underdogs came in.
Oh, yeah.
So if you like underdogs, if you have a conviction for an underdog, you play them on the money line, and you will even see some double-digit underdogs win straight up. So every underdog, you should play a quarter to probably a third of your wager on the money line, and you'll make money. Already 2-0 so far this year. So this is a game I think Illinois is going to be sky high for. They lost, obviously, to some really good teams, Indiana, lost to Ohio State, and also lost at Washington, where Washington played their best game, and teams going east to west and west to east have been – it's been tough for them in the Big Ten. So,
dude, they want to get out of the cold, Lee. Those kids will be sky high.
Oh,
this game's in Texas, right?
It's the Liberty Bowl, Buck.
Oh shit, it is the Liberty Bowl. No, oh no, Lee, they are not going to like that.
No, I like Illinois here. So, I think that their offensive and defensive lines are good enough to do their part here, and they might pull out a few trick plays here. Let it all go here. This coaching staff is going to be sky high for this game. Brett Bielema. I'm going to go with Illinois here. Wrong team favored. Illinois, 34-28 over Tennessee.
I think I crap in the Liberty Bowl because I had to spend Christmas there in Memphis.
I beg your pardon, guys. Not the Liberty Bowl. It's the Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl.
No.
I saw Liberty and assumed Liberty Bowl, but
well, at least it's not a condiment.
At least it's not a condiment. Yeah,
financial investment. That's fine.
Staff infection.
Well, we've got a cheddar snack cracker, Lee, for the next game, Texas and Michigan. I have never been more lost. I have no idea who's going to win this football game. Right, like Michigan obviously doesn't have a coach. They're dealing with all the distractions with that. Texas isn't going to have a defense because they've got like 7 starters opting out of the game.
Right.
The Longhorns are favored, and that line has gone up since Sherrone Moore got canned in Ann Arbor. Your thoughts, if you have any, on the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl?
Well, first of all, it should be Cheetos. Cheetos are better. Let's be honest. Ooh. My opinion. You agree?
Are you a Puffs guy or are you a Crunchy guy?
Crunchy guy.
I don't like the ones that get all over your fingers.
Yeah. They both of them get all over your fingers. But yeah. I'm more of a crunchy guy. So I like the Cheetos. And here's the thing. This line should be like 3.5, 4 tops. I mean, if this happened, the whole Sherrone Moore thing happened within like a week of the game, the distractions, might be enough. But look what Michigan did last year in their bowl game against Alabama. They were sky high. So they couldn't match up against Ohio State. That was Ohio State's Super Bowl. Look what happened the week after that. When Ohio State beat Michigan, they were celebrating like they won the national title for a second straight year. And the next week, they were, you know, flat on their face, and Indiana beats them here. So I think Michigan will be able to play with Texas because of the opt-outs here. You know, I think that this is – I think the talent level is going to be very similar because of the opt-outs here. And think that Michigan, they're another staff here. They're going to let it all go here. They're going to have some fun here, and they have nothing to lose. I think they're going to hit on some big plays here because of the back end. You're missing your star safety. Where do you project him? You think he's a – what do you think? He's a second, third rounder in the NFL?
I think it'll be a third round pick.
Okay. Yeah.
Probably around there.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be just first rounders. Now you got some fifth, sixth, and seventh rounders, you know, opting out. I mean, some of these agents. So I think they'd be better, most of these kids, by staying in and playing in this game, having some good tape on film here, going out on a positive note. If, you know, if I had a kid playing, that's what I'd tell my kid. But I like Michigan here. I think they win this game here straight up 28-25.
Okay. Right. Another game. Now we get to the playoffs. Ole Miss is a big number over Tulane. And I think we'll find out that the Tulanes of the world and the Dolly Madisons of the world, what they're going to figure out. But all these games, there's so many games that have so much confusion within the program. Ole Miss, you know, now they've got to, you know, their head coach is headed off to LSU. Tulane's guy is gone. It's just, how do you get everybody on the same page? You know, the next in line who now is the coach there, how does he get the guys interested and ready to go? Now, Ole Miss will be interested because they're in the play. Tulane, I just don't know if they have the talent to hang with this group.
Well, how about the Ole Miss quarterback? Is thinking about, I mean, there's talk now about him leaving. So that's another distraction. I assumed he was listed as a senior. Maybe he's going to apply for another year. Mm-hmm. I guess when you play at Ferris State for 4 years, they only count that as 2 or 3 years. Uh-huh. Who knows what's going on? You threaten a lawsuit and you win. That's today's modern world here. But sure. I think without their head coach, that's a negative. John Summerall's been splitting time between Tulane and Florida. You know, in that first game, it was a close game for a long time. In fact, half the points that Ole Miss scored, 22, happened in the fourth quarter. So I think that Summerall is going to be able to come up and scheme up some defensive looks and maybe be able to get a couple takeaways here. Motivation is all on their side. You know that Ole Miss, with the distraction of the coaches, you know what's going to be next year and the situation of maybe playing Georgia next round in Miami. Got to be weighing on these kids. And, you know, they already beat Tulane fairly easy. Jake Retzlaff in that first game was terrible. He had only been there a little over a month, 5 for 17 in that game. Quality quarterback. Not saying he's an NFL quarterback, but he's not far behind, you know, the Ole Miss quarterback. And I think they're going to slow down the tempo. They're going to take their good old time like the Colts did in that game. And they can make this one possession game. They feel they have a chance going in the fourth quarter. I think the line's too high. I think Ole Miss wins 31-23. Last year, all four favorites won. This is the first underdog. I think it's going to come through, and we're going to have a whale of a game here.
All right. Well, whale of a game tomorrow night, at least on paper. Alabama and Oklahoma meeting for the third time in the last 13 months, Lee. Obviously, the Sooners 2-0 against Roll Tide. This line's been back and forth. Bama favored in some books. OU a slight favorite in some books. Pretty close to a pick'em. Maybe it'll end up as a pick'em by the time we get to tomorrow night. But your thoughts on the Crimson and Cream from Oklahoma against the Crimson Tide of Alabama?
Well, now OU, Oklahoma is the favorite now by a point and a half. And money, big money came in the last 18 hours to move this line 2.5 points from Alabama, 1 point favorite, to OU, 1.5 point favorite. And I think maybe justifiably so. I told everyone that Georgia was going to beat the brakes out of Alabama. I didn't think they deserved to be college football playoff. I think they'll be a little bit better. Obviously, they're going to get 4 or 5 starters back, but their offensive line, even getting a couple guys back, allowed 10 sacks in the last 3 games. Ty Simpson, not 100%, I believe, still with that bad back. I mean, just watch him. Just doesn't look like the same quarterback we saw even in midseason. And then on top of that, I think that special teams, big edge here for this Oklahoma team, Tate Sandell, their kicker, means money, anything from 65 in. So a game that, you know, you get the home team, better defense, better special teams, and, you know, maybe John Mateer finally shows out. He hadn't looked great. Maybe that extra couple weeks does him a bit of good here. I think the right team's favored. I think Oklahoma wins this game here 24-20. Start the playoffs off real good game here tomorrow night.
All right. How about one of my favorites, because BK will say I'm such an Aggie, yeah. Texas A&M Miami at College Station. The kids from Miami won't be intimidated by the scene there, but it is what time is that game? Is that 11 a.m. game? Did you
11 say 11 a.m. Central kickoff?
That's an early get up and get going game. And boy, you're going to see some great wide receivers. I love the freshman, yeah, obviously, at Miami. But A&M has two wide receivers that are unbelievable. It's going to be about the quarterback play, Lee, I believe. Right. I think both defenses are pretty good, but I think it'll be about which quarterback plays better.
Hey, if I may jump in here, I'm going to go ahead and make a pick before Lee does.
Ooh, all right. We're going to get BK. Is this going to be your first pick of the year?
First pick of the year on this segment. You know, Buck, you and I were talking about this game earlier, and I tried to make it sound like it'd be close and whatever. It's going to be a beatdown. Remember what South Carolina did to A&M in the first half a few weeks ago? It's going to be four quarters of that.
Of that?
At Kyle Field on Saturday morning. It's going to be a beatdown for the Hurricanes in Kyle Field. All right.
Got a score?
I'm going to go 37-10 final.
Wow.
I'm feeling nice to the Aggies today. I'll give them double digit points, be a late field goal or something. I'm going to go 37-10. It's all about the U, Lee.
All right.
What about the running backs? A&M's running backs healthy now?
Yeah, it looks like he's going to play. Moss is going to play, yeah. So here's what's interesting. I've been able to read these two teams when they matched up. 2022, I went to that game with Bill Cohen. I said A&M's going to win the game by six. And I think they won by six, right on it. I think they won something like 26-20. And they went to that game with Dick Van Dyke, Tyler Van Dyke in that game. So the difference between him and Carson Beck obviously is huge. I think by Miami playing there in 2022, it helps them. There was a lot. They had a ton of illegal procedures. They also had some delay of games here. So that should be helpful for them in this game. Early start time. A&M is formidable. Here's why I'm not 100% Miami wins this game. A&M probably played, if not their worst game, worst or second worst against Texas. Miami probably played their best game against Pittsburgh. They dominated Pitt so bad, I don't even know if Pitt's going to be able to field a team for spring football. Those kids' confidence, physically and mentally, are shot. I do believe that this game is going to be won in the trenches here. And I think Miami is a little bit better. Also, look at A&M schedule in the SEC. The teams that they played before Texas, a combined 11-40 record. Are you kidding me? They got the benefit of the doubt there, and they finally played Texas, and Texas came up with a great game plan, were physical that day. A&M does have two great receivers. The key here is to keep Marcel Reed in the pocket. If they can do it by rushing four and sometimes five and stay in their lanes here, and keep him running, scrambling less than five times, I think that Miami's got a real good chance they make him throw the football here. He's erratic out there. And I don't think that A&M's going to be able to get a whole lot of pressure on Carson Beck here. So Malachi Toney, he might have deserved the Heisman Trophy. Had 84 passes thrown his way, didn't drop a single pass. And now they got him running reverses, throwing the ball his senior year. The kid Bell is going to play quarterback for you. He got hurt. He stepped in last year and played quarterback too. He's thrown a couple passes last couple weeks. And even special teams, now the kid Osborne, who transferred Miami, thought he was going to be the kicker. We got a kick from FAU. The kid's money. Anything from 55 in. So A&M's had trouble with their place kicker. That could be a problem with Bond. So I think Miami's going to force a couple turnovers here. The wrong team is favored. Miami 24-23 and move on to play a rematch against Ohio State of the 2002 Fiesta Bowl for the national championship. Here we go. I got a little something for you to listen to.
Rock you like a hurricane, the Scorpions.
Come on.
Oh, Bill Cohen.
Win, lose, or draw. This will be Miami's last game. That'll matter.
Cancel. Bill's canceling all of us. We're done. We are done. Oh, man. All right, Lee. Last but not least, Vanderbilt, Iowa. That's your game of the week, your game of bowl season. But it's double down December. You got the NFL Sunday ticket. You got bowl picks. If folks want to get in on everything, where do they find you?
Yep, we've won 12 of the last 15 weeks and on college football and the NFL on the weekends. You want to hop on board. Double down December. Every game through December 31st, if you use coupon code SAVE100, not $397, $297. I think we have 26 or 27 bowl games from now until the end of the year. Two weekends of college football playoff action. We'll have some games and totals there. 2 weeks of the NFL on a run there. So you want to hop on board, use coupon code SAVE100, just $297 through December 31st. And go Canes! Go Canes!
Hey, what about them Dolphins this week with Quinn Ewers?
Yeah, we'll be rooting for him. Yeah, absolutely. I've had enough of Tua. I mean, Tua,
have you, he's had a mere
shell of himself. Isn't it crazy? I mean, they should have gone everyone. I mean, even the media was saying go year by year with a guy that, you know, has had so many concussions, and they paid him big. I think they're on the hook. He gets paid in full next year. I think like $52 or $57 million dollars.
Yes, between 52 and 57, yes.
Yeah. Crazy. By the way, this go is Quinn. Go Texas. Go Canes. Oh, my God. Is that ugly?
This is the suit that Bill Cohen's going to be wearing, allegedly, for the Aggies playoff game on Saturday.
Is that, you know, put that on at 11 o'clock in the morning?
We have to have a poll question. Is that suit from Bingo Long's Traveling All-Stars, the movie, or that's got to come from someone's graduation in 1959? Oh, my. A&M, right? That one of the ugliest things you've ever seen?
The maroon pinstripe suit.
Wow. He'll be wearing that. He's going to wear that on Saturday. He said he had that made by one of the best suit makers in all of Europe. Can you imagine if he wears that Saturday in Joe Cohen and Son Jewelers? He may not even get anyone to step 4 or 5 feet into the store.
Close down the store. Just close the store.
Close it down.
Oh, my God. Well, Lee,
thanks. And if the Canes win, maybe we'll come back and do something before the new year. How's that sound?
Awesome.
There we go. Love it. We'll say happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas just in case.
Yeah,
right. Thanks for joining us all year. And we'll chop it up around Super Bowl time, but always enjoy it, my friend. And we'll all chop it up soon.
Thanks, you guys, buddy. Take care. All you and your families and your staff and all the listeners out there, happy, healthy holiday. Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas and be safe.
Thank you, Lee. Same to you and yours, Lee. There he goes. Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. And of course, we're always poking fun at Bill, but man, we love him. The Paramount Sports segment, always brought to you by our great friends at Joe Cohen and Son Jewelers, Austin's oldest family owned and operated business of any kind. Hey, Bill wanted me to say thanks to all of you TSU listeners who have gone to see him. I think we got a couple of comments last week from some of y'all going to get your holiday gifts for your significant others at Joe Cohen and Son Jewelers. They're giving you 10% off. All you have to do is say you're a TSU listener. Jewelers don't give discounts. That's not a normal thing. Bill's going to do that for you if you're a TSU listener. Plus, the gift wrap is always free. They've got expert advice. They do returns and exchanges if you need them. Free parking in downtown Austin. I mean, they've got tons of great inventory that they want to sell to you for the holiday season. And we always say it. You don't need to know a thing about jewelry. You just need to know Bill and his great team at Joe Cohen and Son Jewelers. Whatever your budget might be, whatever gift you're looking for, they've been doing this since 1883. The year Buck got his driver's license. Go see him downtown, 611 Congress, online at joecohenjewelers.com. And you know what? I was dunking on the Aggies, but because I love Bill so much, P.S. beat the hell out of the U.
There you go.
Gig 'em.
Yeah, gig 'em is right.
I'm going to throw up from saying that right there. All right, let's bring on the boys. It's Double R back at home.
I'm here. No echo, echo, echo.
Today, I was calling you Lou Gehrig yesterday with the echo that you had, sir.
Yeah, that was good, wasn't it? I tell you, man, I have that road system down pretty well. I don't know what the hell was going on. Well, I do know what's going on yesterday. So anyway, it's figured out.
It was the Motel 6 you were in.
That's what it was. That's really what it was. It was the acoustics in there weren't very good.
Who were you? Were you at the Knights Inn, Motel 6?
Oh, no, that wouldn't happen at the Knights Inn because everything is made out of the same thing that the rug is. The walls are the same. It's all acoustically designed.
Well, here's the problem was I was actually at the DoubleTree. So that's the problem. They put me in a fancy place for this corporate thing that I was at, and that I'm not used to that. I'm a red light district kind of guy. So it's
DoubleTree still doing the chocolate cookie?
You know it. You know it, buddy. You know it. It was there.
Dude, I didn't know that was a thing. And I just happened to be staying there. It's like a friend's bachelor party or something like a year ago. And I checked in and one of my friends was there. He's like, "Did you ask for the cookie?" Like, she wasn't that hot. I don't think I was interested in that. He's like, "No, they got cookies." And I'm like, "Whoa, they are good."
Yeah, they're delicious.
Like, I figured there's no way they're going to be good if they're mass producing that many. But
yeah, they ask you that when you check in. They're like, "Would you like a couple of waters? And most importantly, do you want a cookie?" And I'm like, "Yes." Huh? Same thing. I'm like, "What kind of cookie are we talking about here?"
I feel like that's code.
I know. Yeah. Like anchovies on the pizza.
Yeah, or something. Oh, good callback, Loverboy. Good callback.
One of the few movies that I'll reference because, you know, I'm not a big movie guy. But
I don't think BK's ever seen Loverboy yet.
Oh, my God. BK, come on, dude. Kate Jackson is in that one.
Everybody's working for the weekend, that Loverboy?
Close, but no. Patrick Dempsey kind of getting his...
Sorry, this is me at the DoubleTree going in for a second time. Another cookie. All right, sorry, Wax.
No,
you're good.
No, he's... I think it's... Who's the lady that played Princess Leia? Carrie Fisher. Carrie Fisher's in that movie as well. Yes. Yeah. Carrie Fisher's she's in it. Kirstie Alley. She's in the movie as well. So lots of 80s actresses, right? But that's where Patrick Dempsey kind of got his start, right? Loverboy. But I think Can't Buy Me Love is the one that really hit Patrick Dempsey off with the rom-coms. But
I love that girl.
This is up there too, man. What teaches you how to dance, teaches you how to be a romantist.
Oh,
yeah, he got cool. He got cool.
He went from dork to cool, man. He was working at a pizza shop and he's just like, "Man, what do I do? I don't know how to talk to girls." And then all of a sudden he was just serenading and fine dining and doing other things too.
In Can't Buy Me Love, he paid the cool high school girl to go out with him.
To go out with him, right. That was another one.
So he became kind of a form of prostitution, actually. If you think about it.
Good job on him.
I don't think that's called boosting, man. I don't think that's prostitution.
Boosting. Boosting. That's a good way to put it. Boosting.
If it's not sex, he wasn't paying for sex. He was just paying for a date.
Yeah, she just went out with him, and so they were, like, seen together, and they're like, and actually, his name was Ronald.
He was the lawns keeper, the landscaper. Nerd, he cut her yard, like, he cut the grass for her yard, and then he was just like, "Look, man, I'll take all the money that your family's paid me if you'll just go out to prom with me for one time, just so I look cool."
Yeah,
and she ended up falling in love with him. All of her friends ended up falling in love with him. There you go. There's the story.
And I think they said he went from geek to chic. And so his name was Ronald. And when he got cool, you know what they were calling him? Ronnie.
Ronnie. You know what I saw last night, Ronnie?
My
cowboy flick of the night.
What's that?
The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance.
Oh.
I didn't finish it again.
There's no way you've seen that, Ronnie.
I've seen that.
Jimmy Stewart, John Wayne.
My granddad used to watch those things.
Lee Marvin.
Yeah, I know what it is.
I always thought it was wild to see Jimmy Stewart in those movies.
Yeah, in the cowboy flicks.
Yeah, because like Jimmy Stewart, I remember Jimmy Stewart from Wonderful Life. That's basically the only thing that I kind of remember Jimmy Stewart from, and the fact that he served in the military or whatever.
Yeah, but the Duke was the Duke.
Can I say this? I'm probably going to get dragged for this. I don't enjoy, I've seen country movies. I went down the country little avenue of approach there, and I don't enjoy John Wayne movies that much.
Really?
Yeah. Give me Henry Fonda with
Jane Fonda.
Henry Fonda with who? With Charlie Bronson. Okay. Right? And
Clint Eastwood.
And I don't think Clint Eastwood was in that any. I think it was Jason Robertson, right? For
on the Dallas Stars, Jason Robertson.
No, not that one.
Jason Robertson.
No, but this is Once Upon a Time in the West, right? Or Once Upon a Time in the West, I think. And it's not a Eastwood movie. It's a Leone movie, but it's not an Eastwood movie.
Buck, you know this one?
No, I don't. I don't recall that one. I haven't got to that yet. Well, I've probably got to it, but you know me. I watch
Once Upon a Time in the West, man. I think that's probably one of my favorite. I hope I got the title right.
Sunday, when I was driving through Oklahoma on the Missouri border, I had to like stop and take a break. And so I stopped at the Will Rogers Arch Museum type thing. And man, that was pretty cool. It's like sitting right over US 44. And like you see the traffic go through. And the irony to the story is I stopped at a really cool place and they had a McDonald's in there. And I went to get, hopefully, number 9 of you know what, and they're like, that promotion has ended.
Oh no!
Oh
yeah, no McRib,
no more.
He's done. He ate them out of house and home. No, he put them out of stock.
Speaking of gaining that extra 4 pounds, I need. That's what I needed.
That would do it.
I needed the McRib.
Oh,
you need to go on the road with me, Buck. Come on the road with Ronnie. I'll fatten you up.
Once Upon a Time in the West with Claudia Cardinale.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like a boxer.
She's not a boxer. She's not. She's got some things that can box your face, but she is not a boxer.
Terrence
Crawford retiring? Speaking of boxing.
I saw that. He said, I'm undefeated. I've had enough. What else do I have to prove? I like that.
Yeah. I beat Canelo. I'm gone. I'm done.
That's it. That is it. All right, guys.
That is it for you guys, right?
Yeah, we're only 14 minutes into your show, so I think it does feel like a good time.
We're 2 hours tomorrow, right? So it'll be back to back 2 hours. All right.
Are we on the road tomorrow?
No, Monday is your suit.
Monday. Pass. Thank you. We're going down. See, I thought Jay wanted us there a little bit longer and wanted us there more and often. So I'm just trying to jump in Jay's Christmas stocking. That's all.
Yeah, he'll have. Whoa. I don't know what that means, but.
I'm just trying to get close to the family.
If you're spending money, he will have you.
Absolutely. Hopefully they got some stockings down there at Sue Patrick.
They do. All right. See you boys tomorrow.
Later.